26 and 27. All right.
These are for the Mueller residences, adjacent properties in Carmel Highlands and Monterey County. And Matt Keeling of our staff is making our presentation today.
Thank you, Roger. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good afternoon. As Roger said, I'm going to be presenting items 26 and 27 together, and that's because they're adjacent projects. They're very similar in the comments that we've received for both of the projects, or essentially the same for both. And so I'll spare you myself the frustration of giving two presentations and going through two sets of comments like you had to do in reading the staff reports. In preface to my discussion, I just want to make it very clear that the reason that both of these projects are before you today is because they're for advanced or engineer-type systems that Monterey County currently cannot permit under the existing memorandum of understanding between our two agencies. And so conceivably, less protective conventional systems could be proposed and permitted by the county without going through this process. This is a Carmel Area Local Coastal Program land use map showing the Carmel Highlands area here in yellow. The two lots that we're going to be looking at are this little green area right there. Highway 1, the dotted line north and south, Carmel by the sea, Carmel Valley, approximately 2 miles to the north. This is a lot line map showing the existing and the proposed lot configurations for the two lots. The existing lot configurations are shown in green borders here, and they're oriented in a north and a south configuration. There's currently a proposed lot line adjustment that the county is withholding pending approval of the resolution for the project 192 San Remo Road, and that's resolution number 60 before you for item number 27. The proposed lot line adjustment is in place basically to provide a more suitable site conditions for placing single family dwellings in an on-site wastewater system. As you can see, the site's really constrained in this area. It slopes exceeding 30%. We've got a seasonal stream drainage channel. Now, one of the biggest comments that we have from project opponents is regarding the legality of the proposed lot line adjustment, and I'm not so sure we can speak to that under our given authority. But there's also questions of whether it's appropriate for us to approve an on-site system for a lot that the configuration currently doesn't exist. What I'd like to show here is that there's a single-family three-bedroom dwelling that was permitted for 194 San Remo Road, and it's located here. And the county issued the building permits, and it's currently under construction. And that meets both the existing and the proposed lot line configurations. And it's up here in this upper slope here. And then the location of the dwelling and the on-site system for 192 San Remo Road is located here. Comment that was brought up is that regarding density is that since these lots are less than an acre that we can't site on-site systems here, but these are existing lots of record with an existing legal right to the development of a single family dwelling. And the lots, basically it's an equal exchange of area for the lots. So the lot at 194 San Remo Road is approximately 0.85 acres. And the lot for 192 is 0.61 acres, and that's obviously less than the new division of land minimum of 1 acre. The project applicant formally proposed and got permitted for a conventional on-site system for 194 San Remo Road. In response to neighboring opponents' concerns, he is now proposing an advanced or engineer-type system. And again, that's why it's before us today. The lot at 192 San Remo Road is one of the existing lots that's kind of in the projects that's in the pipeline that's subject to interim Monterey County interim ordinances that requires an advanced treatment system. And so that's why they're both being proposed. Now, in the absence of Monterey County interim ordinance restricting development within the Carmel Highlands, the proposed lot configurations could both be developed using conventional systems. And that's based on available site data that I use to evaluate both of these projects. Based on my review, both projects are also in compliance with the basin plan prohibition criteria, the existing basin plan language we have for on-site systems. I'd also like to point out that both of these lots and the lots in the area are serviced by the Carmel Riviera Mutual Water Company, and so an on-site domestic well is not required. And there are also no domestic wells within 250 feet of these lots. And if there were, it would prohibit the use of seepage pits for disposal for these types of the system. I'd also like to note that the two projects also meet the 100-foot setback from the creek drainage channel there.
So, Matt, is there a on-site disposal system being built currently for the home that's under construction?
No, they're not. Yeah, we basically gave them the option of kind of proceeding at their own risk, given that there may be additional constraints put on them as part of the approval of this resolution, or it may not be approved, but they haven't proceeded.
Where are they supposedly going to build that system?
I'll show you in a moment. I've got site plans for both of these projects, and I'll get to them. Right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over some of the issues that were raised by the project opponents and try to address those comments.
Can I interrupt just for a second? We just noticed that we don't have all the cards that we're expecting to have up here, so maybe some of you folks got here later in the day, and we need to have these testimony cards filled out if you're interested in speaking on this item, so maybe you could do that now.
I'd also like to add, Roger, and I don't know if you mentioned it before, I don't think you did, but there's a supplemental sheet that's available for this item,
right.
And they're back in the corner. They're in yellow, and there should be a fair amount of those there. And that was in response to some comments that we received late last week. Now, some of the project opponents are concerned that the advanced treatment systems that are being proposed are experimental and they're unproven, that they're not adequately tested designs, and that's just simply not the case. These systems have been designed and manufactured and tested by probably one of the largest and most reputable on-site system manufacturers in the country, if not other parts of the world. They're used in Europe, Canada, and parts of New Zealand. They're National Sanitation Foundation tested and approved, and they're shown to provide consistent and reliable treatment that approaches almost tertiary standards. And that with a UV disinfection system, this goes way above and beyond what we'd normally see for a single-family residence. Now, the project opponents are also concerned about ongoing maintenance and inspection. And both the resolutions before you and Monterey County permit conditions require maintenance contracts through deed notices and restrictions. The manufacturer also requires a service contract with a local service provider for a web-based telemetry monitoring system, and then they can basically go online and they can check the parameters of the system, they can adjust certain controls, and then they'll also get warnings before alarms are triggered and alarm notices. And so they get a fair amount of warning if there's something that's afoul with the system. And there's also a manufacturer requirement, and this is, I put this in the prohibitions, in the conditions of the resolutions as well, for semi-annual inspection and maintenance of both the treatment and the disposal systems. Now, the project opponents are also questioning whether the disposal systems are designed adequately enough to handle 100% of the flow and how they will operate under worst-case rainfall conditions. What we've got for both projects are dual disposal systems. We've got shallow disposal trenches as well as a subsurface drip irrigation system, and each of those systems is designed to handle 100% of the flow. And I'd like to add that the flow numbers that were used to design those systems are also quite conservative. The minimum standard that the county requires for a single-family residence is 450 gallons per day. And based on common water usage and sewer flow rates, numbers between about 180 gallons per day and 250 gallons per day are generally more consistent with what you'd see in a three-bedroom dwelling. I think 250 gallons a day is probably what most municipalities use when they're estimating wastewater flows for new developments. The loading criteria that was used to design those systems is based on manufacturer specifications, and they've got safety factors built into them. And it was also using site-specific soil and percolation testing data. The project designer, with regard to stormwater impacts or rainfall impacts on the system, because they're shallow, an analysis that the system designer did indicates that a majority of any of the rainfall that's going to fall in that area is going to run off on the slopes, and that whatever rainfall percolates is going to help the vertical movement of the disposed effluent down into the subsurface.
Matt, before effluent hits the disposal areas, it's essentially been disinfected.
Yeah, it's almost correct? Meeting Title 22 reclamation standards, and it goes through ultraviolet disinfection.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to note that I've seen subsurface drip irrigation systems applied up in the Puget Sound area for municipal applications, and they receive probably three times the amount of rainfall that we get in the Highlands, and they function quite well. Some of the project opponents are also suggesting that the soils in the site are impermeable and not conducive to on-site disposal via percolation. Now, of the 12 percolation tests that were done on both of these property, only one of them resulted in percolation rates that would indicate impermeable conditions. Of the 11 remaining tests, they all resulted in an average percolation rate of about 50 minutes per inch, which is well within the range of acceptable basin plan recommended percolation criteria. We've also got two additional 24-hour infiltration tests that were conducted on the sites that are more specific to the shallow types of disposal systems that were designed for these projects. And so the soils there are capable of handling the loading. And again, like I mentioned before, we've got conservative flow estimates of what's going to be going to those systems. Now, although both projects meet the basin plan prohibition criteria for slopes to varying degrees, both projects do not meet various recommended basin plan criteria regarding slopes and setbacks to slopes, cuts, or drainage systems. And I'll show you these in subsequent slides when we look at the site plans. It gives you a lay of the land and how where the setbacks are. Now, consequently, concerns were raised by the project opponents regarding the siting of the disposal systems on or adjacent to slopes. And it's kind of the first cut of a mitigation is that the project applicant had a slope stability analysis done for both projects, and it indicated that the disposal systems would not result in any soil instability along slopes around those projects. Now,
but would there be a decrease in the slope safety factor? The stability analysis generates a number.
Yeah, and
1.0 is right on the verge of failure.
I'm not sure they actually went through and did a slope stability factor. I'd have to go back and look. And essentially, because of the granular nature of most of the soils up there, they're very cohesive. Mm-hmm. Unlike silts and clays, when you wet them, they have a tendency to have slipping planes. And that's just not the way most of the soils are set up here. And that was kind of, when I reviewed it, that just corroborated what I've seen for other sites in this area. Ultimately, the mitigation of daylighting effluent is inherent in the system design, and we'll talk about that in my next slide. To address some of the other concerns regarding setbacks to adjacent cuts and subsurface drainage systems, the project applicant is installing a subsurface cutoff wall at the 194 San Remo site between the disposal area and the house. And where the house is, there are retaining walls and cuts in the foundation and some subsurface drainage systems to protect the foundation. So they're putting that in to provide an additional mitigation of any of the effluent that will laterally migrate downslope towards the house. But I don't even think it's going to get that far, and I'll show you why in some other slides. We also have conditions in both resolutions that prohibit the installation of subsurface disposal or drainage systems pursuant to the basin plan setback criteria, and that's 50 feet downslope. You can't have a subsurface drainage system from the disposal, or 20 feet upslope. So we added those to both of the resolutions. Now, the key mitigating factors in addressing the slope and cut slope and subsurface drainage setback issues is the shallow disposal and advanced treatment system designs that are being proposed here. Now, there's two primary disposal alternatives that are used to mitigate slope and setback issues. And one are deep leach fields and seepage pits. And these are what have historically been implemented in the Carmel Highlands area, as well as other parts of Monterey County. The other is shallow dispersal systems, and I'm going to call these dispersal systems. You know, the shallower ones, they don't normally call them disposal systems; they call them dispersal systems because what they do is they're designed to spread the effluent out over a larger area on the site. And what this does is it maximizes the amount of evapotranspiration that you have, and effectively reduces the gallons per day per square foot loading on the site. And deeper systems like deep trenches and seepage pits, they're designed to push the effluent further down. And I kind of give you an analysis. It'd be like taking a volume of water and trying to dump it down a hole in the ground to get rid of it versus taking that same amount of water and spreading it out over an area. And I did kind of a rough calculation. And for the project that was formally proposed at 194 San Remo Road, they had 12-foot deep leach field trenches. Now, the system that's proposed just for the shallow trenches that's before you today covers the surface area on the site 2.5 times larger than what the 12-foot deep trenches would. And so you're basically using more of a soil interface to accept that soil versus trying to stuff it down a deeper hole in the ground. The shallower systems also provide better treatment within the soil column because the bacteria are primarily located within the first couple feet of the surface, and also provides greater vertical separation of groundwater and impervious layers. And both of those are really kind of a moot point because, one, we've got a very high-quality effluent. We don't need additional soil treatment, and we don't have any vertical separation issues. Now, although the site conditions do not meet all the basin plan recommended site suitability, slope, and setback criteria, conventional systems would be allowable for both projects using deeper leach fields or seepage pits for both these projects. And that's barring, obviously, the Monterey County interim ordinance for the 192 project. Now, the advanced treatment disposal system designs will result in a higher quality effluent being spread out over a larger area, effectively decreasing the loading rates, and will be less likely to result in saturated soil conditions and surfacing effluent. And so these types of systems are a lot more protective than standard systems. This is a site plan for 194 San Remo. This is the building footprint. The foundation is currently in place. Here is the proposed treatment system here, the connecting piping, and the disposal area up in this here. You can kind of see it. There's these darker green bars emanating up this way and that way. Those are the shallow disposal trenches. And then kind of built in around that, and they're almost superimposed, is a subsurface drip irrigation system, and that covers the lighter green areas here. And so that's the dual system that we have. Now, this disposal system is sited on slopes of 18%. This is less than the recommended slope criteria in the basin plan of 20%. Slopes start approaching 30% in this area and up over in here. Now, the recommended setbacks from slopes of 30% based on the basin plan algorithm is in there, it's 100 feet. And it's not just basically looking at a map and saying, well, here's the edge of the disposal system, and the 30-foot slope is here. Is that less than 100 feet? Basically, what you do is you do a cross-sectional profile through the soil, and you look at, you take a line starting at the disposal lateral, and you run that at a 20% slope towards your 30% slope, and where that intersects the slope or the cut, that's the line by which you measure back to see whether it's 100 feet. And I did this for both projects, and I did it in both directions, to the west and also to the north-northwest. Essentially, we've got about an 85-foot setback in this direction and 113-foot setback in this direction. It depends on which of the systems you're looking at, and I went with the minimum number.
Matt, can you point to the foundation again one more time for
sure.
The residents?
This kind of light pink block here, this is the building footprint, and this is the garage. And there's also, we'll get to here, let's see, what's the next one I want to show you. We've got a retaining wall. It's approximately 10 feet. This is dark line here. It's approximately 10 feet from the disposal system. So that retaining wall, or that cut for that retaining wall, is also applicable to that 100-foot setback requirement. And so we're very, very close. We've also within about 20 feet of the foundation cut, and again, we've got a significant drop in elevation between, you know, the edge of the disposal system and where the foundation is, and that's why the retaining wall is in there. As far as subsurface drainage systems, the retaining wall itself is designed for saturated conditions. It doesn't have a back drain. It doesn't have any weep holes in it, so it can be fully loaded with water and be structurally stable. There is a subsurface drain, or a French drain, behind the stem wall of the garage, and it's located right in this area here, and it's approximately 35 to 40 feet away from the disposal fields. Now, the cutoff wall trench, I think I mentioned it before, I hope I did, as part of the mitigation, is they basically put in a subsurface concrete wall that acts as a dam between the disposal area and the cuts, and the retaining wall, the foundation, and then this drainage system.
When you say subsurface, can you tell me a little more?
Well, I'm not even sure if it's going to show up on the surface, but basically it's a concrete wall. I think it's going to be about a foot thick, and it goes down 2 to 4 feet deep into the soil.
So 2 to 4 feet into the soil. What is that intended to accomplish?
Well, what it will do is, if we get a significant enough lateral movement of the effluent from the disposal fields, which based on the designs that we have here, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think what we're going to see is wetting and drying and evapotranspiration, and then some of it's going to move downward. But if it does move out, it will hit the cutoff wall, and it will be forced downward.
And Matt, the ocean is to the left on this screen.
Yeah, that's correct. I've got these oriented north, south, west, east. Okay,
the other property is
the where? Other property is going to be up here, and I'll show you another site plan in a minute. We'll run through kind of the same same discussion. Now, again, the chosen disposal alternative, you're spreading the effluent out of a larger area. And my professional opinion, looking at this, it sufficiently mitigates any of these slope and setback issues, because it's more protective than a standard septic system and a disposal system. I'm going to show you some pictures here. I guess one of the board members asked to see some photographs, and we're lucky enough to have some of them sent to us yesterday. The first one from point A is going to be looking at the garage area towards the location of the treatment system, and then two vantage points looking across the proposed disposal area. So we'll look at those right now. So as you can see, this is the stem wall in the back of the garage that has the French drain behind it that I mentioned. Disposal system is going to be located right in this area here. And you can see there is a considerable amount of earthwork and retaining wall work that's going on the site. Now, this is looking upward and out towards the road, towards the disposal area. I guess they cleared it, but they haven't installed anything, and they've got some jute matting and some stormwater control, so I'm just glad to see that this was on here. I hate to bring up a picture and have the stormwater folks look at it and say, what's going on here? And as you can see, this is, like I said before, it's about an 18% slope. So it's got a relatively decent grade to it. You know, funny thing is if you look at it from the upslope vantage point, it looks pretty flat. I think it's just the angle of the shot, but that's basically looking at the same area. I just wanted to bring this up again just to kind of give you an idea. We were just looking at 194 here, and now we're going to be looking at the project at 192 San Remo Road, and it's located kind of in this area here. It's up on the flatter portions of the proposed lot. Again, you can more clearly see the building footprint, garage. Here's the treatment system and the disposal area. Again, we've got the dual disposal fields consisting of these little rectangular boxes of the shallow disposal trenches. And they're kind of intermixed around all the trees in that area, as well as the lighter green area that depicts where the subsurface drip irrigation system is, and it weaves in and out around the trees. And one of the things I forgot to mention previously is that these areas with the subsurface drip are all going to be planted with vegetation, and that will help aid in the uptake and evapotranspiration of any of the disposed of effluent. Now, as you can see by this site plan, the project at 192 San Remo Road is a lot more constrained with regard to slopes. In particular, the disposal system is sited on slopes of 28%, up to 28%. And that's greater than the recommended slope criteria of 20%, but it's just less than the prohibited criteria of 30%. Now, as far as the setbacks to a 30% slope, I mean, 30% starts right about here. And when I did my evaluation at looking at that 20% line from the base of disposal systems, basically you only go about 10 to 20 feet, 25 feet before that line intersects the slope. And again, it's not shown here, and I think the final design is still pending for this residence. And they're probably waiting until they get approval for the resolution, and then once they do that, the county will likely approve the lot line adjustment and then the building permits for this project. So for right now, we don't see any retaining walls, no drainage systems as part of this proposal. But just looking at the building footprint and the lay of the land, there's probably going to be a fairly significant cut along here to put that house in place. Okay, I'll just show you a quick picture of the disposal area. There's a stump, I think it's right here, that shows up in the picture.
So the discharge zones for that residence are all uphill. The discharge zone is all uphill.
Correct, it's all uphill to the residence. Yeah. Yeah, so if anybody's really going to be affected, it's going to be the house itself, but not the neighbors.
Right.
But I sincerely doubt that that's even going to happen based on the designs that we have. Well, I recommend that we approve resolution 61 for 194 San Remo Road as proposed without any changes. And I also recommend that we approve resolution 60 for 192 San Remo Road as proposed, but with an additional condition that's based on the supplemental sheet that you have before you, and it's regarding approval of the lot line adjustment. And I'll go into that in the next slide and show you what that proposed condition is. But I just wanted to clarify that my recommendation is based on 4 points. The first is that the proposed projects meet all the numeric basin plan prohibition criteria. Secondly, the proposed advanced treatment and shallow disposal systems sufficiently mitigate excursions from the recommended basin plan criteria. Third, conventional septic systems could be sited on these lots without individual waivers of waste discharge requirements. And again, that's barring the Monterey County interim ordinances for 192 Santa Remo Road. And lastly, the proposed advanced treatment and shallow disposal system designs are more protective than conventional system designs. And the recommended condition for 192 Santa Remo Road, I basically modified the condition that was proposed by one of the project opponents. And the way they worded it, if there were any changes that were made to the lot line adjustment between now, if we approve the resolution, and when that lot line adjustment is changed, it would basically make the resolution a moot point, and they come back and say, well, the resolution is no longer valid because the lot line adjustment changed. So I made it contingent on the conditions that I used to evaluate this project, and it's based on the existing planning documents for lot line adjustment and the design documents that I received from the project designer.
Okay.
Have a question.
Go ahead, board questions.
Just a quick one. So without reading it right here, this would cover any site changes as far as placement of the house or the system.
It would allow them to make changes that would make the setback criteria more protective, but it wouldn't allow them to make it less protective.
Perfect.
And that's kind of how I wanted to word it.
A couple thoughts I had about this, and perhaps it's in here, but maybe I overlooked it. Is there any required protection of the disposal areas from any kind of development?
I don't know if that's a question that we can pose to Monterey County. I know they've been talking about doing deed restrictions for protecting those areas, but...
Yeah, I mean, just
not
where
specifically.
The disposal lines are.
No.
Where the system is.
No, but, I think that's a good one. It might not be a bad idea to have something in there that says that.
Well, can we make it a requirement of our waiver?
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
But, you know, the trouble is that, you know, you hire a landscaper or somebody that comes out there and they're not familiar with the layout and where it is, they could start digging, and I don't know how they would do that.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
If they start digging, they damage something, a component of it. And, it really should be kind of a dedicated area so that the system operates with that potential impact. You know, time goes by.
Yeah.
The property gets sold. Someone else lives there. But somehow there should be a requirement that the areas of the disposal fields not be disturbed.
Or you think of staking it in some manner?
I don't know, but
I'll just put it out there.
Maybe you could think about it as we go through this. The other thing I thought would be helpful would be to have, I think Mr. Brownstone is going to be there.
Andrew Brownstone's here.
When these get installed, there should be a requirement that he sign off on some as-built or as-installed plans with the county.
Well, that's required in the...
Doesn't always happen. Yeah. And I've seen that before in other projects where you go back and an engineer said, you know, this is the way I designed something.
Mm-hmm.
And
he'll be on site to inspect it as it's being installed.
Yeah.
So it should meet his specifications.
It should be.
But I've seen
situations where you don't get a set of as-built plans if there's any kind of changes to it.
Yeah, and that's something else, too, that we can work out with the county in their final permitting of the system to basically give them occupancy
to the
residents.
Okay.
I think it would be easier for them to implement that than it would us.
Well, right.
But we can put it into the resolution.
Yeah, the applicant should have to certify that the systems were installed as per the plans designed by Mr. Brownstone, something to that effect. And then a third thing would be, there's an issue of low-flow fixtures in these homes. Do we really have any way of confirming that those are going to be put in and kept in, you know, to minimize?
Going to ask him to invite me over for dinner.
Well.
Maybe that's inappropriate.
I think we have to allow some leeway to Mr. Keeling because he's got a one-week-old daughter at home, and I think he's actually doing amazingly well.
Okay. Thank you.
Wait for 15 more
Chairman,
years.
Mr. Chairman, there is a limitation on the number of gallons per day, and I think that it's probably, I don't think you can direct that they install a certain kind of.
Well, I think that those were requirements, though.
Yeah, I put it, you know what I did is I've started to take a little more of a proactive approach. When I have the opportunity, if I can put language in a permit or a resolution that says, you know, for sustainability standpoint.
Well, right, it's in there already.
To say that, you know, low flow fixtures and, you know, water conserving devices, it's just a good idea.
Yeah, it is. And my concern is just the verification.
Yeah.
So.
It, you know, and the problem is, too, is that they could, you know, they could build a house, you go in and inspect it.
I know.
The inspector walks out and they put in the nice, you know, blow your brains out shower head after everybody leaves.
Yeah, I took mine out after we didn't have a drought anymore in Santa Barbara. My wife did. She wanted a shower that really, you know, massaged her. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think your concerns about the disposal field, I don't think you have to have any concerns because when they flush the toilet and something happens and the disposal field's not working, they'll find out real quick and make them want to fix it real fast.
Well, you know, that's the thing with these systems. And if it fails, it's a watertight system. It doesn't back up on the ground, you know, like a conventional septic system. It backs up into the house.
All right, then the last thing is just a question. How do you pressurize this type of disposal system?
With pumps.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's constant air or water pressure. And the water would just be
water
from
pressure.
The system itself.
Yeah. Well, that
isn't that escaping through the disposal lines into the soil?
Well, no, it's not air. You're basically using a pump, water pump, to pump the water out of the tanks, out to the disposal fields.
Gravity is not working to.
Well, no. If you go back and look at the drawings, the treatment system is downslope from the disposal system. So you're basically pumping the effluent uphill, and this is something you see with conventional systems as well.
And gravity,
siding constraints.
Gravity is then working from that point.
Yeah, because a lot of cases that the best place to locate your disposal system is upslope of where your septic tank is, and it's not uncommon.
Okay. All right. Any other board questions of staff at this point in time? Okay.
Now, with regard to your comments and questions, do you want me to try to take a stab at drafting some additional conditions with regard to protecting the disposal area and then certifying the systems built pursuant to the specifications and then having a signed set as built?
You know, I think my colleagues down at this end are fine with the way it's written in terms of protecting the leak areas.
We've got to hear from everybody, too.
Yeah, okay. We'll just have to wait and see. We'll hear the rest of our speakers, and then we'll come back to this.
One of the things I want to address, too, and you reminded me in your discussion, it was a comment that I failed to bring up that was made by some of the project opponents, and it has to do with the fact that the system relies on electricity to operate and to pump the effluent up. And so, you know, the question came up is what happens when the power goes out? And they actually recommended that we should require a generator for the system to operate. And my review of it in looking at it is that we've got, I think it's a day and a half, almost 2 days worth of storage in the system, and that when the electricity goes out, as long, and then this is contingent on the phone line still working, the service provider, which is either going to be in Santa Cruz or up in Carmel Valley, is going to get a flashing alarm on their system that says that the system is shut down. And they're going to do one of three things. They're either going to, their first line is they're going to call the homeowner and say, what's going on? Is there something wrong with your system? Should we call out a service provider, somebody to come out and check it? Or they may be the pumping contractor themselves. They may call the pumping contractor and just send them out there directly without talking to the homeowner. Or in the case of Peninsula Septic Tank Service, they're the service provider for this system as well as the local pumping contractor. So they'll just send a truck out there to pump it before it has a chance to overflow.
Put an electric valve on the water main. And the lifeline of the valve shuts off. And no water in the house.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you. We'll go to our speakers. Pamela Silkwood. Andrew, must be Brownstone, there's no last name here, Michael Moeller. I have two cards for each agenda item.
Mr. Chairman?
We're doing both things at once, yes.
Yeah, Roger, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if this was discussed, but I know there were some requests for combining time allotments for some of the project opponents. I don't know.
You have want to address 12, that? 12 minutes allocated to Ms. Silkwood.
Okay, so we'll start with those three. Ms. Silkwood.
Thank you, Chair and board members. My name is Pam Silkwood, and I am here representing applicant Dr. and Mrs. Moeller, who are also here and available to answer any questions you may have. I would like to request that I reserve my time for rebuttal rather than make a presentation. I think Matt Keeling did a wonderful job, even with a one-week-old baby, and I don't really need to add any more than that. So, okay. Thank you.
All right.
5.5 minutes. We hope so.
And then, Mr. Brownstone. So every all the all right.
Although I'd like to know how much time I would have to do 2 minutes.
We were giving 12 minutes.
Yeah, so you use 30 seconds. You have 11 and a half minutes left for rebuttal. Later.
You had
yeah.
six minutes, right?
Oh. The rest are 3 minutes, right? Unless we approved ahead of time. I don't think I approved ahead of time, right?
Yeah, so. I don't know if his time was considered in that. I wasn't party to that. Request by Pam and Burton?
Three.
Yes. So you're going to reserve your time?
The default's 3 minutes unless you ask and get approval.
And 3 minutes for both projects.
No, you have 3 minutes for each project, correct?
We're taking these together.
Well, are we offering it to others?
No, we're taking these together, so we were looking at because the comments are so common to both.
Okay. All right. Steve Wilson, Ann Hoxie, and Russell Hoxie. Yes. You can come up now if you wish to speak. We're going to take you in that order.
Hi, I'm Steve Wilson. I had submitted a letter requesting additional time.
Yes, and I think.
Oh, Monterey Bay Engineers.
Correct. Yes.
Ah, there you go. I didn't put the two names together. Yes, you requested 10 to 15 minutes, and the chair approved 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And before you start, if I could just make a general comment, if you, of course, can use your time any way you want, but it would be helpful to us, since we really deal with the water quality issues on projects that come before us, if you could make every attempt to, you know, focus on those issues, because those are the ones that we have direct jurisdiction over.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good afternoon. I'm here to represent four of the adjacent property owners. David and Carla Garnham, and I just introduced David. He's in the audience. Also, Russell and Ann Hoxie, and then Leland Lewis. Thank you. And his wife, Judy. And then also Mary Whitney, who couldn't be here today. To preface this, I'm going to start out, the three parcels that we're talking about were bought in 2000, the year 2000. The one we call 006 is on a ridge and is quite buildable. The one that is 005 consists primarily of a steep slope and has creek running through it, so from a standpoint of septic suitability, it really doesn't work. There's another one further north that we won't even talk about. It's not before us. But the concern and our objection to this is that the applicants attempting to reconfigure these parcels and then cluster two large homes on this what is essentially one lot. The combined area of this property is about, the usable portion is about a half acre. That figure also includes areas that are slope setback areas too. We believe it's just too much development in too small of a place. The real issue is that that this kind of development, I don't believe, is compatible with ground disposal of wastewater, especially given your standards and the geology of the area. And also the applicant's asking for some very significant and precedent-setting variances from you. To sum it up, the premise that both of these parcels are buildable and they have a right to two homes isn't necessarily correct, and that's really the crux of the problem here. It's also there's really no hardship or justification present to warrant the variances. The exhibit up on the screen on the wall there is the existing system as is currently before you. I point out that the dark line with the arrows next to it is that cutoff wall, and the cutoff wall is going to tend to direct any groundwater to the point at the end of it where there's a letter W. And I think what's going to happen here is that we're going to have a concentration of water, either groundwater or effluent, that's going to collect in that one particular place that's only 50 feet away from a 30% cut slope, a very, very high slope, incidentally. And I think we're going to be creating a nuisance with this application. I see this area as being pretty wet, and to make matters worse, if two homes are put on the property, there's really no area for repairs or backup. You know, most of the time when septic systems fail, you look for another area. In this case, we're using up about every available square foot of the property for the development. There's really no room for repairs. Matt, can we have the other slide? Excuse me. And what we're proposing is that the house under construction be put in. That's fine, but a conventional leach field system or the shallow leach field with evapotranspiration could be put in on the upper part of the property and not require any variances or concessions from the water board. And I think that this really needs some careful consideration, because this will allow for a trouble-free operation and certainly plenty of area to affect a repair should that be necessary. On that, on both exhibits, there's the dashed line is the creek, and the wavy line is the demarcation of areas that are over 30%, just as a demonstration of how confined this site actually is. There was some discussion about the Monterey County Health Department and the fact that they had approved a conventional septic system for both lots. When the lot line adjustment process started, they made the determination that the property was suitable for a septic system. When the building permit process started, though, for lot number six, they had health department actually signed off for the permits. And I was asked by the neighbors to go take a look at the plans and check it out. And what I found was a grading plan prepared by Bester Engineers that showed the septic system. But what they had done is they'd separated all the elements. The topography is on one sheet, proposed gradings on another, dimensions on another. Septic system was by itself. And you had to flip through the various sheets to figure out what was going on. When they went to the health department, asked them to look at the plan, the plans in their file, and found out that what they had was a plan prepared by Soil Surveys for a completely different design. And so I asked them if they could please go over, check out the plans, and make a determination for themselves. And that was done. And they rescinded the approval of the conventional septic systems because there is no way they can meet the criteria. And that's why this is before you today, is because it has to have an older system to make it functional. However, this clearly demonstrates that they could, if one home were built on these properties, have a standard system without needs for variances. And I would think that this board, in the protection of the public interest, would want something that meets your standards rather than something that has for exceptions from the standards and then has no reasonable way of making repairs, because you've used up all the real estate.
Would you like a glass of water?
I'm just a little keyed up. This covers the most of what I had to say. If I have any time left, I'll save it for a comment later.
Okay. You've got about 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Ann Hoxie? Did you want to speak, Ms. Hoxie?
Yes, I did.
Come up to the podium. And you have 3 minutes, and then you'll be followed by Russell Hoxie.
It seems to me, as a naive person, that someone would look at a lot and make sure that the septic system was workable before they planned their house. This project, the person built a large home, as much home as they can, maybe even got a little greedy, and now are trying to squeeze a septic system on the lot just to fit around the lot. And I don't think this is fair to the neighborhood. I'd like to give the rest of my time to my Steve Wilson. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Russell Hoxie?
Yes, I'm Russell Hoxie. I live at 193 San Remo, just downhill from the proposed or the existing building site. And this area marked W that Steve Wilson has shown, if that does become a boggy, muddy area because of something that happens with a heavy rain year and so, I think not knowing what the subsurface soil, which direction it's going to flow, it's going to definitely affect our property and even more so my next-door neighbor who lives adjacent to me but up above a very steep slope cut, I guess you'd call it, in excess of 30 degrees. And she's just looking right up at the retaining walls. I'd like to see the rest of my time to Steve Wilson.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
seating time? We've never in the past.
Well, no, we don't.
Maybe you should say something.
I thought Roger was taking track there. I'm keeping track. You writing it all down?
Yeah, that's
well,
okay.
for those who asked for additional time, such as Ms. Silkwood, and wanted to have it for later, I've been keeping track.
I mean, you can reserve your own time for something later, but to start ceding it to others, we typically don't do that. Okay? If you want to use up the rest of your time, that's fine. But otherwise, if you don't use up the 3 minutes, then you don't use up the 3 minutes. Okay, Jana Falk. Jana Falk. And then Judy Lewis would be after Ms. Falk.
Hello, I'm Jana Falk from Monterey County Environmental Health Department. So I'm open to answering any questions you may have. A couple points on the previous speakers, just want to clarify. The comment that the approval for the conventional system was rescinded due to the lot constraint was primarily due to tree removal. I went back and looked at it, and this conventional system would not meet setbacks to a tree that would have to be removed. And in Monterey County, that's a very costly and lengthy process since you have to acquire administrative permits to do so. So that was one of the main reasons on that. And we also do not have any concerns with putting any conditions on the permits that we acquire as built from the engineer prior to signing off building permits and septic permits. So if you have any questions for me.
Any board questions of county staff?
Just one question.
Yes.
So I'm not really clear on what approvals you've given. There is one home that's built with no septic or no system yet, but there's two homes ultimately being proposed.
Right, and the second home is on hold. The administrative permit for that home in conjunction with the lot line adjustment is on hold until this resolution is approved, and then all the conditions of this resolution for the waiver of discharge will be applied to that permit, administrative permit, and then from that point they can apply for building permits.
So at this point, the only approval that Environmental Health has given is for one home and one system.
Yes.
And you're holding off on making a determination on the second unit based on the lot line adjustment. But are there other considerations that will be that will come up in that final review and approval?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Okay, Mr. Shaw.
I'm not sure if this is within the purview of your department, but earlier it was mentioned that there might not be enough space to perform repairs on the system. Is this a concern of yours, or has that been addressed?
For these lots, Monterey County only requires that there be enough room for two systems, and they have designed both systems, and they will be installing both systems, and they'll act, you can transfer the waste between each, so they'll both be utilized and would lessen the impact of one system if it were to be utilized for the entire duration. Does that make sense?
Well, that makes sense. That's
okay.
That's interesting news, but I think what he was talking about was just physical space to get, unless I was mistaken. Maybe, Matt, you can answer.
Yeah, I can address that. And I actually was going to respond to that comment. And,
okay.
You know, as I said before, we could site a seepage pit on these properties, and it's not uncommon for repairs for failing leach fields to be seepage pits in this area. And from the drawings and looking at them, I don't think they'd have a problem putting in deep leach field trenches or seepage pits that would meet the standard loading requirements.
So, again, just to be clear, you're talking about two dual systems. So
yes.
Four systems.
Two.
Two operating on each property.
Two backup, yeah.
Two on each property.
No.
Right, two on each property. Right.
Yeah, so but each property would have a primary and a secondary.
That's a better way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah. And we only require one. Basin plan recommends dual systems.
And I know that the county will be most likely preparing a septic system management plan. court's jurisdiction.
Process.
So
yes.
Does our staff see any constraints with what we anticipate might be in that type of a plan with what we're permitting today?
The only constraint I think would be that I can see is that, I mean, these types of systems, this is about as far as we can go technologically as far as top shelf type treatment disposal. The only constraint would be if the county study comes back and says this area needs to be sewered and all these systems need to go away.
Right. I guess what we were thinking of with the management plans was for the assessment by the county to look at whether there's groundwater contamination.
And that's part of their
right. It looks like
assessment.
With all the granite that's not going to be an issue in this area anyway.
What? The groundwater?
A groundwater contamination.
Well, that was one of the issues, if you recall, back in April when we were talking about the CASHFE project, and it was kind of what triggered the Monterey County interim ordinances was my calling into play. A lot of the remaining lots in the area don't have water service. Carmel Riviera, my understanding, is the only water purveyor in the area aside from Cal-Am, and Cal-Am can't give any more connections. And so most of the other lots in the Carmel Highlands to be developed, they need a septic system and a domestic well. And, you know, the granitic conditions we have there, you know, depending on where you're looking, they can be fractured, and that's where the effluent is going, and that's where the domestic water is coming from in those wells. And so that's...
So potentially the county, once it does its management plan, does an assessment, might determine that there's groundwater contamination
in the
highlands and might have to require either sewering or some other type of waste
mm-hmm.
disposal,
yeah,
even for the existing properties.
That's correct. How to deal with that,
yeah,
if that's the end point, is a whole other
ball
of wax.
They'll address that in
yeah.
the management plan.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And just to follow up on that, they're moving on that. They've got a consultant, I think. Did you already guys issue a contract yet?
The contract is pending a board approval.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay. Judy Lewis?
I have one question.
Yes.
Go ahead. I think I need to ask you a question.
Ms. Falk?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
This is just for my own clarification. There's a comment made that the density would be too high with an additional home there. But I understand that there are two legal lots at this time. So all they're requesting is a lot line adjustment.
Yes.
So the density wouldn't change.
No. The density would be the same as
approved. Right, thank you.
Okay.
My name is Judy Lewis. We live next door at 7 Mentone. We've lived in our house for 18 years, and the only point that I'd like to make is that we have had the electricity go out every year, multiple times, and sometimes we have storms where people can't get down to the highlands, and so it would be very interesting to see how that would be handled. So I think that's something to be considered seriously. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yeah. Ms. Lewis?
Do you recall what your longest outages have been?
Well, the longest outage was 10 days when we were actually... flooded out, but usually it is maybe 2 days,
four
to 5 days.
I was five last year.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. So Matt, how does this work with the holding system? I mean, refuse is collected by gravity through the house and runs down into this state-of-the-art treatment facility by gravity, correct?
Yeah.
And that's going to flow regardless.
As
of,
long as
of
they're
power.
Flushing the toilet and
right.
using the fixtures in the house, yes.
Right. And so what's the capacity of the unit itself you know, to hold how many days worth of flow?
I have to go back and look. And I actually did an analysis for that, and maybe
Andrew might be able to.
It depends on what flow you're looking at. If you do it for the design flow rate, I think it was somewhere in the period of like 18 to 19 hours. I'm not sure if that's right. Close to a day. If you look at more appropriate flow numbers of about 180 to 250 gallons per day, then you're looking at close to 2 days, day and a half, 2 days.
And then what would happen?
It would start backing up into the house.
Oh, well, then that's their problem, not the neighbors, right? I mean, that's the homeowner's problem.
Yeah, you think
not
they're
the
gonna,
neighbors.
You think they're going to do something about it before it gets to the neighbors. That's my assumption. Maybe I'm missing something.
Okay. All right. David Garnham and Leyland Lewis. And then my last speaker is William Daniels.
I'm David Garnham. My wife and I reside at 9 Mentone Road, which is to the east of the Moeller property. Let me just comment first about the electrical issue. My wife and I have only lived here in the Highlands about 18 months or so, so we're learning about the electrical problems. I've spent just recently over $10,000 to put in a backup generator system because I've learned from last year's experience that I just couldn't believe that day after day after day would pass and the electricity wouldn't come on, and so I'm now set, so hopefully this won't happen to me again. But I certainly wouldn't want to be away from home with a system. Now, presumably you wouldn't be creating the problem, so it wouldn't back up, but still with something where there could potentially could be this kind of a problem in a power outage. So in any case, I think it is a concern. But let me just take 1 second to comment on a point that's arisen. Steve Wilson sort of alluded to this, and the staff presentation did as well, which has to do with the division and the congestion and this whole question. And yes, it's true that we're talking about there are two lots there now, and the land is going to be reconfigured. But it's very important, I think, to recognize that this land, as Steve Wilson's map indicates, is not uniform in its characteristics. We're not talking about Kansas here. There is a seasonal creek that runs through. There's a ravine. It makes a very great deal of difference whether you configure these lots as they currently exist, and it's important to recognize the way they were purchased by the Moellers, or whether they're configured the way they want them to be configured. And no one's denying their ability to utilize their property, but after all, they bought the property the way it now is. They didn't buy it the way they want to make it. And I think that needs to be recognized as well. And if it is reconfigured, it not only is going to have the kinds of implications for getting rid of wastewater, which Steve Wilson was addressing, it's also going to have, I think, some serious implications for congestion on the property, which is part of what we as neighbors are concerned with. It's going to be pushing the houses very closely together. It's still going to be just two buildable lots, but the way things are going to be configured on the lots is going to be different. And I'd like you to sort of reflect on that point as well. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Leyland Lewis?
Good afternoon, board and staff. I'm Leyland Lewis. My wife and I have lived on our property, which is adjacent to the Moeller's property, for 18 years. We bought it originally in 1973. I have 60 years' experience in building septic systems and drain fields that have been operated successfully over those years. My main objection to the proposal of the Molars is to jam two houses on one piece of property. They claim it's two pieces of property by their desire to reconfigure the property. It's actually one piece of property, 194 San Remo Road, AP 243-181-006. That one piece of property has a house under construction, a very large house. Their septic system, as designed, is crammed down to one half of that property. If the septic system design is moved to the upper side of the property, where they want to build another house, it will work. The way they have designed it now, it will fail. You folks are interested in this new system working, and there are a number of people in our neighborhood who would like to see it work. If you approve these two resolutions, you will destroy the opportunity for this system to work. If you reject 192 in its entirety and you approve 194 with significant changes, it will work. And I feel that that would be the responsible thing for this board to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Daniels?
Thank you, members of the board. I represent Ms. De La Rosa, who is to the north of the two parcels and across McDougal Creek, which is shown on the second slide that Mr. Wilson presented to you. She's on the other side of that. Her basic position is reflected in the correspondence that I sent, and the gratitude I'd like to show to the staff is that they've addressed the question that I proposed of having a condition that would attach to your resolution that would focus on the lot line adjustment and its being passed. Now, as I understand the project as it relates to the house lot that's under construction, staff does not want to have the condition of an approval of a lot line adjustment attach, but only to the parcel that is 005 because nothing is happening there. The assumption of that recommendation, I guess, is that the proposed drain field that is shown on the first slide that Mr. Wilson presented, which I think I can deliver again if you'd like, it will work. Well, I think there's been enough here to show that it won't, and Mr. Wilson, I think, has eloquently said that. But let me go to the question, because I do believe the response you are asked to do by staff is a good one. Put a condition. But what should that condition say? As I read the proposal by staff, it says that both of the proposed applications and your granting of a waiver will be contingent on the approval by all of the appropriate government agencies other than yourself of the lot line adjustment. That's what I asked for. What I'm concerned about is the language that's also been proposed by staff that follows that simple articulation, because I really don't understand what the proposed language he has suggested means. It somehow suggests that if there are changes in the configuration that cause some setbacks that we have approved on the assumption of a lot line adjustment, then somehow we will have to come back and the waiver will not be in effect. I don't think that's what's before you. There is a very serious question that this lot line adjustment cannot go forward because the resulting lots must be 1 acre. That's what the rules are. And no one in the presentations that have been made in writing, and frankly by staff, have simply addressed the state law that says, very simply, whenever you engage in a lot line adjustment, sure, it's exempt from the Subdivision Map Act, but it cannot be approved unless the resulting lots are in compliance with the local zoning plan, the local coastal plan, and the coastal act. Monterey County says when you have those kind of lots, they have to be 1 acre. This particular proposal is contingent on a presentation to you that that existing lot will just be the same size. It can't be. It just can't be. So I realize you don't want to resolve that issue, and you don't have jurisdiction to do that. But I do think that if we are going to give a nod to the public policy reflected in that statute, and if you're going to recognize that Monterey County has adopted a local coastal plan that says when you go for development, which a lot line is a development, there's no question about that, you have to conform to the local zoning. And this particular project can't. So I ask that instead of the language proposed by staff, that instead you simply make the simple declaration: the granting of the waivers in these two applications is contingent upon the approval of a lot line adjustment. And let me refine that: final approval of the lot line adjustment, assuming that may be in a court or some other place. I reserve my time for rebuttal. And I believe I still have about 2 minutes.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. That's it for the speaker cards that I have. So we can proceed to any rebuttal comments. Ms. Silkwood?
Thank you again, Board. Pam Silkwood, representing applicants Dr. and Mrs. Moeller. Before I respond to specific comments, I would like to first state that 194 San Remo Road, the California Coastal Commission has approved a standard septic system. It seems like there were some questions raised by the project opponents, and a standard septic system is for the property in its current lot configuration. That is, Dr. Moeller has a coastal development permit from the California Coastal Commission and can now proceed with the construction of the standard septic system, except for the tree issue that Jenna had mentioned. Therefore, there's no reason to impose such condition as suggested by Mr. Daniels. I do agree with the condition suggested by Mr. Keeling. The staff report made it clear that the approval of the application for 194 has no bearing on the proposed lot line adjustment because the configuration of the residence, which is currently under construction, and the proposed on-site wastewater treatment system fit both the existing and proposed lot configuration. And I would like to also make clear that there are two legal lots of records. It is not one lot. And it has been confirmed by Monterey County and Coastal Commission staff. And what the proponents or opponents are saying is that they want a merger of the lots. That is not something that they can request from you or from Monterey County or the California Coastal Commission. It almost appears that Dr. Moeller is being penalized by the opponents, not rewarded for voluntarily proceeding with a system that provides greater level of treatment and is more protective of the environment. As for the Subdivision Map Act, I know that the staff report made it very clear that the lot line adjustment is not relevant to the Water Board's authority, and the issue is really in the oversight of the California Coastal Commission and Monterey County pursuant to the local coastal plan. But I wanted to just provide you a short response for information only. As the staff report notes, Monterey County has already once approved this very same lot line adjustment in 2005, and the only reason it was remanded back to the county is because the California Coastal Commission felt that it was not there was not adequate analysis for environmental issues, more particularly associated with emergency access. But both agencies have reviewed it for consistency with local and state laws and have not identified that the lot line adjustment is in violation of the Subdivision Map Act or inconsistent with the zoning ordinance. I have a memo that I will submit to record from Monterey County, and it's dated October 8th, 2002, and it does address this very issue, and I will just read a short part of it. It says, if the existing lot lines do not meet minimum lot size requirements and there is no way to adjust the lot line so that the resulting lots become conforming as to size, a lot line adjustment may be allowed so long as the resulting parcels are compatible with and do not obstruct the objectives and policies of zoning and applicable plans. If you think about it logically, a lot line adjustment is considered development requiring a coastal development permit. Development is allowed on legal non-conforming lots. So I do not believe the lot line adjustment is in violation of the Subdivision Map Act. Mr. Keeling just briefly mentioned granting this permit for a lot line adjustment that do not exist, and that was something that was mentioned by the project opponents. This procedure was created by Monterey County, and Monterey County had determined that they will not process the lot line adjustment application until we go before the board, before your board, and receive this conditional waiver permit. As to some issues raised about less than 1 acre, existing lot of record is not subject to the requirements of the basin plan and the Monterey County Code prohibiting sightings of wastewater system on less than 1 acre because it is a legal lot entitled to development of a single family residence pursuant to the local coastal program. As to the issue of siting and geology, and I know that Mr. Keeling did a wonderful job covering that, but I do want to mention it very briefly. The applicant has spent enormous amount of time and resources to go beyond the requirements to show that the subsurface soil conditions are conducive to the siting of on-site wastewater treatment systems. There were 4 sets of independent sets of soil investigation and soil boring data collected by 3 separate registered professionals. Additionally, 12 percolation tests were conducted by 2 separate registered professionals at various depths. And Mr. Keeling mentioned the 2 additional shallow perk tests that were also conducted, all indicating that the soil conditions are conducive to the on-site wastewater treatment system. And as to the question of the siting criteria and whether we are seeking a variance, I think Mr. Keeling very well pointed out that there were some specific recommendations on 20 and 30% slopes, and these are not, I don't believe they're considered variances, but that the treatment system was designed to address and mitigate the reasons why the system doesn't meet some of the basin plan's recommendation. And I know that Andrew Brownstone will go into it a little bit more in detail, but unlike the conventional system, the benefit of this system is that it is designed to mitigate localized loading and is designed to be shallower and spread out over a large area. And again, we're talking about treatment approaching tertiary levels. This system is designed to mitigate any potential slope instability or daylighting, and out of abundance of caution, Dr. Moeller hired a geotechnical firm to conduct a slope stability evaluation for both sites, and evaluation concluded low probability of the proposed system will induce slope instability. That is the conclusion of my presentation, if you have any comments. And I would like to reserve any time I have remaining for a rebuttal.
Well, I thought this was rebuttal.
But I understand that some of the opponents are rebutting my rebuttal, so I would like an opportunity to rebut that.
we're going to draw this to a closure pretty quickly here. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Matt, did you have any comments?
Yeah, I'd just like to try to address some of the comments that were made. one that Ms. Silkwood just talked about in variances. Yeah, I don't know, maybe Francis can help me out here, but I don't think we have variances for the recommended criteria. She kind of touched on that. But we can, in many instances, and often do, provide basin plan prohibition exemptions for the prohibition criteria. And oftentimes, those prohibition exemptions are based on just this type of a system, these types of mitigations that we see for the site. And so that's being proposed without actually exceeding the prohibitions. I think Steve Wilson also mentioned that something about rebuttal to my comment that conventional system designs couldn't be done to meet the basin planning criteria. I'm pretty confident that I could design and install a conventional system on this site, and I just want to make that on both sites. I just want to make that really clear in accordance with the basin plan criteria.
So, in other words, deep leach pits you feel could be installed on either site?
Yeah, seepage pits or deeper leach field trenches with a standard septic tank, baffled tank, you know, anoxic tank. There's also a couple, I think Ms. Hoxie and Leland Lewis both said something about a very large homes. I think that's somewhat of a relative term. I'm not sure what the square footage is of the homes, but they're three-bedroom homes. And so
and I don't think you need to go too much further with that. Yeah. Really, we don't deal with the size of the homes, the lots. I mean, I know that the folks that are opposed to this project, I know that's very much their concern, but we don't deal with those issues.
Yeah,
it's the water quality impacts that we're going to deal with.
Well, it would be it would be a factor in terms of the wastewater generation.
Yeah, and that was the point I wanted to make. Is that my perspective? I'm looking at this not from a square footage standpoint or a lot size standpoint, so much as I am from a wastewater flow loading standpoint, and that's usually dictated by the number of bedrooms. And then, you know, the setback criteria is, can you fit it on the lot for an existing lot of record? And then I don't know if I should attempt to try to answer some of Mr. Daniels' questions about my rewording of his proposed condition. And I don't know if I specified the reason that I did that or not, the way I wrote it.
I think you did in answering Mr. Shallcross's question.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Item, if you could respond to the issue of power outages and your evaluation that a generator wouldn't be a necessary backup for a prolonged power outage.
Yeah, I think it would be unnecessary and above and beyond, because I know there's many of those existing homes up there that have a standard septic tank that has a pressure-dosed leach field where they have a pump that transfers it up to leach fields at higher elevations. And so that's not entirely uncommon. So there's probably many other residences in that area, as well as throughout our region, that when the power goes out, the effluent goes into the septic tank and it doesn't go anywhere else. And so, you know, should we be requiring backup power systems for all those residences?
Well, the others aren't before us, only this one.
I know. But so I kind of approach it from, you know, I try to, I want to be consistent and fair in how I look at this and with respect to the relative risks or threats of the issue.
If I may, I mean, the reality is when the...
Hang on, Mr. Lewis. You've got some time. I'm going to allot to you to finish up, but just hold on. Go ahead, Mr. Briggs.
I was just going to point out that whenever there are outages, whether it's power outages, sometimes there are water outages, you know, with a line break failure in the systems. We've had those in my neighborhood. And life doesn't go on as normal. You have to make adjustments. And if the power goes out, you've got to take care of the stuff that's in your freezer, in your refrigerator. So that's what happens if the power goes out. If you're wise, you're not going to be using as much water, for example, if that's a concern with the septic system you have. There are, in conventional sewer collection systems, there are frequently pump-up systems for homes that are below the street grade and below the sewer, and those don't require backup power systems, but certainly the people are aware that if the alarm goes off, it's time to stop generating wastewater.
Okay. Mr. Lewis, would you like to use the rest of your time?
I've already got some time.
Oh.
Thank you.
What?
Okay.
Well, I'm going to give you the opportunity to end with your attorney. Okay, the two of you can then finish because you are the applicant. Go ahead, Mr. Lewis.
Thank you. You mentioned...
I thought Mr. Lewis was done.
Mr. Lewis, I made a mistake. I meant Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson first.
Yes, of course.
He spoke first. He had his time remaining. I'd like you to use the rest of your time.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'll remember to breathe this time, so I'm going to run out of air.
Whatever it takes.
That's great. One correction to the staff to the report: the Carmel Highlands area does have overhead power. New developments are required to have underground, but it's almost all overhead. The other observation I was going to make is that with this cutoff wall and the ideas of having the retaining walls and the foundation walls of the house without drainage, I think that. I think there should be some caution exercise there, because I've been to a large number of places in the Highlands and the Monterey Peninsula with similar soil conditions where we have leaking basements, we have water problems in crawl spaces. I'd just be very cautious about the idea of not draining those walls, because the water will find its way through, and I think that's a bit of a caution. Because really, my objection to this proposal is really, are we properly disposing of the wastewater generated by these houses? And I think that with the house on lot 6, I think that with this diversion wall, we are definitely concentrating both groundwater and effluent in a place where I think it's going to be a problem. And I think we should really very, very carefully consider that. And I'm sure Mr. Brownstone will have something to say about that. The other conclusion that was reached in the in one of the letters that Mr. Brownstone originated, and it was repeated in the staff report, is that because the rainfall, the USDA classifies the runoff characteristics of this area as sheet flow, that therefore they jump to the conclusion that the rainfall somehow doesn't enter the ground. And I take exception to that. It's common sense would tell you that when it starts to rain, the ground is going to absorb the water. It won't be until after the ground is saturated that the runoff occurs. And just remember that the sheet flow criteria is really developed to estimate storm runoff, not percolation.
Thank you for your comments.
Okay.
Who else has time?